This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, cold. Don't you think it's a little cold out this morning?
You know, yesterday when I woke up and I found it in the 40s, and then I realized that yesterday wasn't going to get out of the 50s, I thought, oh, my goodness, that was a big change because, Thursday, it was like almost near 90. And so then, you know, yesterday and now this morning, it's cold. And so, yeah, I think winter has finally made its way in.
But, now, I think Thursday it's supposed to get warm again.
Goodness gracious, for real?
I think it's supposed to be 80 next Thursday.
Oh, that sounds
great. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be cold to them, but I think on Thursday we're going to have one warm day.
Yeah.
I think it's... Now, the kids are going to get mighty cold with this Halloween deal, you know.
Yeah.
How they are.
Yeah.
But now most of them nowadays go to parties, uh-huh. And they don't go to do trick or treat anymore, and that's a good thing.
Yeah,
because they're not out getting cold, and the parents don't have to get out in the cold with them.
Yeah, well, I always remember when I was a kid, and when it was cold, you'd have to put a winter coat over your costume, and then nobody could see your costume.
That's the whole deal. But if you go to these little parties they're having, everybody gets to see you. Now the dentist. For the little children out here, he's giving a party for all the little kids.
Oh, wow.
At his office. Isn't that neat?
That is neat. I assume he's not giving out candy because he's a dentist.
I don't know. I hadn't heard yet what he's giving them. He's going to have something.
Yeah.
Little kids are going to want candy or something nice.
They'll end up with fruit.
May just give fruit. That'd be a hoot, wouldn't it?
Maybe some vegetables.
If he gave out oranges and apples.
And Brussels sprouts.
Oh, no Brussels sprouts. Those kids would laugh.
That would be a really mean trick to play on some children.
That would be too mean for these little kids, let me tell you.
Yeah.
But he has good practice, so he invited all the little children and their parents to come by, you know, for a little quick party.
Well, that's great.
And I know the little kids are looking forward to it. They've all got their costumes, and, you know, they're ready to go.
Wow.
And I think it's a neat deal. Now, the churches all have big Halloween deals. You know that.
Oh, yeah, the trunk and treats and all those things.
Oh, they can afford everything. They have, the last 2 years, they've had camels. They've had all kinds of things. They always have a horse to ride. I think a merry-go-round maybe. But the churches spend a lot of money doing this upright, you know. You can ride the horse, you can see the camel, and I think they let them ride the camel as well as I remember.
Wow, that does sound cool.
I mean, they have everything.
I've never rode a camel before.
Oh, well, all you have to do is go to one of these big churches and say, I want to ride your camel.
See, I'm afraid that, because being an adult, I don't want to be the one that actually literally broke the camel's back.
All right. Well, they I don't know if they let big people ride.
No, probably
or
not.
Just little kids. But I know I've seen the pictures of all the little kids riding them and riding the horses and, you know, playing with all the little pets that they bring for them.
Yeah.
But I would say the big churches, I might spend $10,000 for
them. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be a lot of money.
Oh, wow.
Because I know last year, I think there was maybe 1,000 children attended that one.
Yeah.
It's big deals,
wow.
Big doings.
Evidently.
Well,
happy Halloween.
Let's give out our phone number.
Let's do that.
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to my favorite store, Ivy Cottage.
Yeah, and don't forget.
And you know, this time of year, you know, Ivy Cottage is gearing up not only for Thanksgiving, but for Christmas. It's a double deal.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I've already seen Christmas things in stores, and I'm just like, my goodness, we haven't even done Halloween yet.
I know it. They're getting ahead of themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we haven't even got the pumpkins through. But now my family has done some creative pumpkin drawings and paintings, and they're gorgeous.
I'm sure.
I mean, oh, my gosh, they have painted pumpkins. I've never seen them as beautiful as what they've done.
Wow.
My daughter's kind of an artist, and they did one in light purple with gold all over it.
Ooh,
it was gorgeous.
That's fancy.
And they did some with eyes, you know, with the button eyes, and red on it in different places and gold. I mean, they did some outstanding pumpkins.
Well,
and I never did do all that, so, you know, I'm kind of shocked. I think it's nice. And they also did long spoons, and that's something they're doing this year. You paint all your long spoons with the colors you want, and then you put the eyes on it and all this other.
Wow, that sounds cool.
It is cool. I mean, the kids are having a ball.
Yeah, they're all ready for Halloween and Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yes, and, you know, it's arts and crafts is a big deal. We should have thought of this years ago and put in Hobby Lobby, you know. Parents will spend a fortune on arts and crafts,
yes.
And they do it at school, too, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a big deal. Well, let's talk about retirement, not for you and me, but for the people we represent.
Yeah, and that's what really this is all about, because you want to, you know, you especially start getting into the holidays and people start thinking about, you know, I need to spend more time with the family. And then they start going into that place where I really want to retire and spend more time with the family, the grandchildren. I want to go places. I want to, you know, take time off. I want to retire. I want to, you know, do all these things that are on my wish list. But if you don't have enough money to do all that, then it's not going to be a very happy retirement.
That's exactly right. And you're working now. The intent is you've got to be investing now. You've got to invest enough that you're going to have a long, long amount of money, that you're going to have a wonderful retirement, that you're going to live great for 25 years. You know, I figure everybody's going to live 25 if an illness doesn't get them.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, they've got so many things you can do nowadays. My gosh, all these places people are buying, all of my clients are buying wonderful properties, I can just tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know they had wonderful places to buy mineral wells, but they do, you know. I mentioned last week one of my clients is retiring there. Only one I know going to Mineral Wells, Texas.
Well,
but they're getting a farm. It has a pond. It has beautiful trees and grass, and they think they'll be very happy.
Oh, I'm sure. It sounds real idyllic. It sounds fantastic.
Now, the ones that are going to Granbury and the Hill Country, I know they'll be happy because you've got golf, you've got the lake, you've got the Granbury Theater, which I adore. You know, if I lived in Granbury, I'd be at that theater every Saturday night. The new production of Lilac and Old Lace is starting down there.
Oh, wow.
And you know, tourists just flock down there to all the things that Granbury offers. They've got all the antique stores. They've got galleries of really great paintings by some of our really, you know, top-notch people like Slaughter. And there's just so much to do there that that's a great place to retire. And it would be one of my probably A1 listings, you know?
Oh, really?
And then we've got people going to Palestine, to the lakes, and Tyler to that lake. And they all say the same thing. There's no trees in Midland, Texas. There's nothing to do. I mean, you know, nothing to do. They want to do stuff. You know, they want theaters close. They want lakes. They want golf, you know.
Yeah. Well,
and
you know,
all these places have it.
When you're working, you know, during the week and you're working for all these years, you don't really have a whole lot of time necessarily to go out and do these things. So you're not always looking for them. But when you retire, you have literally all day, all night. And so you need more things to fill up more time, and you want to make sure that you've got the money to be able to do that. So whether you're looking to buy some property someplace or you just want to travel for a couple of years, you have to make sure that you have enough money. And if you're in your, maybe if you're in your 50s and you haven't really started, it's time to really get on the horse, right?
That's right, because you've only got a certain amount of time. You've got 5 years, 10 years, 15, whatever you've got. And you've got to sit down and say, okay, we're spending right now to live $75,000, $100,000 or more, and we don't want to live on $40,000 when we retire.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got to make sure that your savings, your retirement fund, your 401k or your IRA is living up to your standards.
You know, I've heard so many people say, oh, geez, you know, we can retire, maybe retire at, you know, 51 instead of, you know, 55 if we cut out this and we, you know, scale back on that. That's no good.
It is not any fun. And the people I know, they're all saying, well, let's pool our money, you know. And they're pooling their money. The wife has got an IRA, he's got an IRA, or they've both got a 401k. And they're rolling that money with us every time a policy matures. They're not taking that out and saying, you know, I'm going to go buy something, or I'm going to Vegas, or, you know, we're going to buy something speculative. They're saying, let's be conservative. We'll just keep rolling this until we can retire. And even then, I've got some that retired this year, and they've got that money still with us and still making money, so they've got good income, and they're not using it up. In other words, when they take money out, it's being replaced with interest at all times.
Yeah, and that's
important.
That's
what you've got to do.
You know, you just because you retire doesn't mean necessarily that, you know, your revenue stream stops. You still need to be, you know, replenishing that money that you use, because otherwise it's just like sand going in an hourglass, and then when it runs out, it runs out. You don't want that.
No, nobody wants that. And, you know, most of my people, their homes are paid for, their cars are paid for. A lot of them even have a lake house already paid for. So that's going to help them. If they've got, you know, a lot of this already worked out where this cash can be used, you know, for entertainment and for living expenses. It won't have to be used for house payments, car payments, you know, all these things that's going to happen to some people that are not ready.
Yeah.
So it's wonderful that, you know, they're coming to us with $400,000, $500,000, and when they're through, you know, they'll have a couple of $1 million.
And
they'll be ready for retirement.
The key here is the planning. You don't want to get caught off guard, you know, right at the last minute, 5 or 10 years before you want to retire, and then say, oh, geez, we should start something.
That's right. And when people come in and say, I've got $100,000, that's all you've got in the whole world, it's going to be tough getting that $100,000 up. But lots of times people will start with $100,000 or $200,000, and then they keep adding to it, so it's growing a lot faster, you know?
Yeah.
And as you know, we've had 10 policies mature in the last month and 2 weeks. So that's a lot of money going in people's pockets. A lot of money has matured this year. We've rolled it over. We've got two or three right now that have not gotten to their bank account, which it will be shortly. The Clemente policy that we had, and we've dealt with this for several months, this is the one where the man had two ex-wives.
Oh,
and he signed off on one, but he had two more.
Yeah.
And, you know, we fought this and fought it, but the money is in their account, and it'll probably be recognized on Tuesday.
Okay.
And that's $1,500,000.
Wow.
Yes, it's $1.5 million. So those people should be extremely happy and thankful that we were able to get their money and get it in their accounts for them.
Now, what is the status right now? Because I know other people, I guess maybe the most popular form of investing is the stock market. We know how risky that can be, especially, you know, if you were affected by 2008, 2009. There are people that were affected from that crash that still haven't recovered. So that's really, I think, always in the back of people's minds. But they're really afraid to go to some kind of alternate investment opportunity, like investing in life insurance policies. So what is the state of the stock market right now? If somebody's in it...
Well, it's up. You know, it's way up. It's higher than it's ever been. And everybody says it's a bubble. It may burst. And I don't know if it will or not. It might just keep going. But let's say, what if it doesn't? I would certainly be conservative. If I had a lot of profit, I'd probably take it out. I'd probably say, you know, it's time for me to be conservative. Take that profit, put it with Faye, because everything we do You know what you're going to make in advance. You're going to get paid that amount. They're not going to ask you to take a discount. They're not going to say, well, you're going to get less at closing. Whatever you signed up for, whether it's a 24-month, a 30-month, a 36-month, it doesn't matter. Whatever your percentage is, that's what you're going to get. If it comes in early, that makes it a lot better for you. If it comes in on time, it's fine. Let's say it goes over. There's going to be a percentage of them that will go over, and you have to be prepared for it. And that's why we're doing only people who are accredited investors. If you're not accredited, you can't do this program because you put $50,000 in and you're going to come crying. Oh, I can't pay those premiums. You shouldn't be in it. You've already lied and said you had plenty of money for premium and you didn't. So we don't want non-accredited in this program. I want everybody to be accredited. When you say, yes, I have other money, I know you're telling the truth. I know that if you're accredited and you're worth $1 million, or you've got $200,000 income, it won't matter what the premium is. You can pay it. So, you know, we're cognizant of that, and we want to do that.
So,
and all the, you know.
And this is really just to make sure that because the investment is not liquid, so you can't get.
No.
So if something happens, you need to make sure that people have enough money that they can take care of it, because emergencies do pop up.
That's exactly right. And when you tell me I have $50,000 in the bank or $100,000 in savings, I know it's true. We're going to go over your assets so we know where they are. And if you say I've got $500,000 in a 401k, in addition to this, we're going to believe it. Or if you say my wife, she's cashed in her 401k, we're going to move it with you. I'll believe that. So we're going to be cautious. We're going to make sure that what you say is really there. Because we don't want someone that has an emergency and doesn't have emergency money. It's crazy.
Right.
You have to have emergency money. You have to always be ready for that. And we've got several policies that went over. And one of the premiums this week to one of my clients was
$20. $20.
And he said, "Faye, is that really the truth?" I said, "Yes." And I said, "You have to pay it to keep the books straight. Not very much money, but I need you to keep it straight." So sometimes we have premiums that are very, very small.
Well,
but it's still, you have to pay it where everything will balance out.
Yeah. So if the policy goes over, you have to pay a premium. It doesn't wipe out your profit. That's the wonderful part.
That's right, because most of these, other than those three old ones that we've got, the profit is great. It's there. Whatever premiums you're going to pay isn't even going to bother your profit at all. It's a tiny amount. So, that's the biggest fear. It could go over. But if you've got 5 policies or 10 policies, one or two going over will not hurt you.
Yeah. It's a very small percentage. And really, in the end, really, when you're diversified like that, some go over, but some may come in early. And so it really kind of washes out in the end.
It does, because a lot of them right now are coming in early. This year, all the policies but one, that one old one, Hammond, came in early. We were holding the light out for Mr. Hammond. We wondered, and it should have come in a long time ago. But it did come in, even though on the last LE, on the last synopsis of his health, it said he was going to live another 24, and he didn't, and I didn't think he would. He was just in clinical trials, and that was what was holding him up, keeping him going. And once he got through clinical trials, the cancer came back with a venom, and, of course, he did not live long, which can happen.
So when you look at these policies and you decide which ones to bid on, because I guess we should probably step back a little bit. The way this works is that somebody is diagnosed with, say, stage 4 cancer, and they need to go ahead and sell their policy for a number of reasons. They need to either settle their estate. If it's a large policy, they'll use it for that. Or a lot of times they'll use the money from the sale of their life insurance policy to pay for their cancer treatments because it's very expensive.
It is very expensive. And that new treatment that's $1 million, I just don't know how anybody's going to afford it. But they say they've used it successfully on some people. Now, some of them, it did come back in a year, but it gave them a year.
Mm-hmm.
But they say on little children, it's really working well. But who's going to be able to afford it?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I can't figure it out.
Yeah.
You can't charge $1 million.
No.
I mean, I just don't see that at all.
But even without that, standard, you know, chemo and, you know, radiation, things like that, they're still very, very expensive.
It's $10,000 a month. Now, let me tell you the good news that I consider pretty good news. You know, UT Southwestern, we've talked about them. You know, my client left over $1 million to UT for research on cancer. The president has invited me down there for lunch in November to talk to him about cancer research and to have lunch with him. And I'm really enthused to be going to find out what the latest trends are to try and to save people.
That is really fantastic, especially when you're analyzing and look at these reports, you know, to decide, one, number one, which policies to bid on. And then once you have them, you have to really kind of, I guess, explain it or show it to investors to so that they know what they're investing in.
That's exactly right. When we talk to investors, we tell them, here is the life expectancy. Here's what the doctors say. They say this person's going to live this many months. And, you know, one of my providers called me this week and said, Faye, you know that policy that you turned down because it was 36 months? I said, yes. He said, the man has died. And I said, that's one that I called wrong. Because I looked at 36 months and said, you know, I don't think we want to go out that far. Well, the man was a lot sicker than they had on their documents. Their documents weren't showing that. Somehow, it didn't show how sick he really was.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we're all wrong, and they're a lot sicker than what we're showing. We've had a couple that we didn't even get the papers back, and the people died. So, you know, cancer is something we can't figure out. None of us really know. We go by what the doctors say. They can be on target, or they can be a little bit off. So when we buy these policies, we do everything we can to get all the information for the client. We try to, if it says 24 months, we want to know, why is it 24? Why is it 10 months? And we try to answer all that, and then we bid it according to what we see.
So the policyholder has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. They need to sell their policy. They need somebody to buy it. And then that you come in and you're bidding against other companies who also want to buy the same policies. And so say you're awarded policy X. And then you get it, and you're looking at this thing. What types of things are you looking at? Because when people, you know, come and they say, okay, I want to invest, but I want to make sure that this is a solid investment, what kinds of things make it a good investment?
Well, you know, I always talk about obesity. People who are obese do not live as long. The other thing is I look to see how much weight they have lost in the last 6 months to a year. If they've lost 25 or 40 pounds, they're going fast. So you want to know that. How much have they lost? Then you want to look and see what kind of treatment have they had. A lot of them, they start with chemo. Then they go to radiation. And they're trying to get ahead of the cancer. If it's all in the lymph nodes, I do not think they're going to make it. If it was just in one lymph node, I might say, well, they'll live a while. But when they say, out of 27 lymph nodes, it's in 5 of them or 10, that person isn't going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we look to see if it started, let's say, in the lungs. Has it went to the vertebrae? Is it in the skeleton? If it's in the skeleton, I don't believe they'll make it any way in the world. And I look to see, you know, where all has it went? If it's metastasized in other places, I don't believe they have a chance. So that's the things I'm looking at on this person. And lots of times, maybe they had cancer, oh, let's say in 12, and then it came back, and they were trying to keep up with it, and they couldn't. It's already progressed too far. So there's a lot of things like that that I'm looking at, you know, every day. And then we've looked at 2 or 3 alcoholics this year. First time we've had alcoholics.
Really?
But the alcoholics, a lot of them, have end liver disease, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They have renal failure, and they're not going to make it. And they're out here saying, well, if I can quit drinking, maybe I can get a liver transplant. You cannot get a liver transplant when you're an alcoholic. You know, they would rather put it to someone who could really use it that's trying.
Yeah.
And they know that an alcoholic is not trying.
So you look at something called page 14, and this really is a very comprehensive overview of the policyholder's health.
That's exactly right. Page 14 tells us who the client is, what age they are, what kind of cancer it is. It tells us what life insurance company is holding the paper and what the rating of that life insurance company is. And it may be a $1 million policy, maybe be putting in $100,000. They may have 24% profit, it'll tell us. It'll tell us if it goes over what it's going to cost. And it tells you everything, and then you have to sign page 14 and send it back in, because we want to know that you know everything about that policy, and we don't want you to come back and say, well, I didn't know what was wrong with them. I overlooked all that. You can't overlook it. You've got to sign off on it in order to even buy the policy.
So how much time, when you start looking at a fresh policy, it comes across your desk and you're deciding, okay, I want to bid on this or I don't. How long does it take to actually analyze one policy to make sure?
Well, it'll take a day or 2 days.
Oh, so and, that's super in-depth.
Yeah, that's right, because they've sent me all the information. And if it's $1 million or more, I've usually got two analysts of it. And I look at the analysis of it. I look at what the doctors say, the two opinions. And lots of times one will have more information than the other. And sometimes the information is sketchy. So if it's sketchy, you know, we're taking more risk. But if it's got all the information in, right there, and we can make a pretty quick decision whether we're going to vote on it, whether we're going to go out and try to buy it. And we're going to bid on it if it looks good. Mm-hmm. If it, like I got one this week, 88 years old again. I threw it in the trash fast as I could go. I just don't want to know about it. Oh, my gosh, I can't do it ever again.
Wow.
And so I say, you know better. Don't send me an 80-year-old. I'm not going to bid an 80-year-old.
Because as you've always said, there's a difference between elderly and being sick.
That's exactly right. You know, you can be 88 and be healthy as a horse. And I don't want to know it. They said, well, the guy's got cancer. I said, yeah, it'd be my luck. They'll find that it was a mistake. He didn't really even have cancer, you know.
Wow.
Because 88-year-olds, by and large, they're in great shape, and they're going to live a long time. One of the law firms that I use, the founding head of this law firm is 80. He goes to the office every morning at 6:30. He's well-known. He's well-respected. People are calling him every day. Give me your opinion on this. Give me your opinion on that. Help me with this. And just because they're 80 doesn't mean there's anything wrong with them, okay?
Yeah. Odds are if you're making it into your upper 80s, near 90, you're probably kicking it better than you or I.
Let me tell you something. We have a client here in Midland that her mother is 90. Her mother just recently did a new will.
Oh, wow.
She lives at home with her.
Really?
Yes. And she said some days her brain is foggy, but most of the time it's not foggy, folks.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you never bid on elderly policies because you made that decision really early on, and you still have a couple that are left that are about to.
That's right. We did that back in 2012. And we've regretted it ever since. It's been a mind-boggling thing to have done.
Yeah.
And, ours are all coming in fast. They're coming in early. And we don't want to ever do that again. Someone else take that risk.
Yeah,
we've already been through that risk.
We're talking about too much money to play games like that.
That's right. And this is people's livelihoods. It's their retirement. And we need to be very, very careful and we are, and we're going to make them as much money as possible. We're going to get them retired early and with a significant amount of money.
Have you ever looked at a policy when you're deciding to bid on it and decided maybe that the doctors and the experts that put the life expectancy on there, that maybe it might not be accurate? Do you ever see something that they don't?
Yes, I think that lots of times, and that's why lots of times I go ahead and bid it. And then there's times when I say, this person's not as sick as they're telling me, And I don't want that policy.
Mm-hmm.
There's been some times I've looked at it and said, I don't know where they're getting this. You know, 24 months, I don't think this person is going to die in 35 months.
Yeah.
And I'll say, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to pass. And then when it says, every once in a while we'll find one, it says there is no sign of cancer at this time. Well, if there's no sign of it, why would I want it? You know, I mean, my gosh,
yeah.
We don't need trouble.
Those are not the kinds of policies you're bidding on. You're actually bidding on policies that have a legitimate stage four cancer diagnosis, and it does not look good for the patient. Now, obviously, our goal, you know, we're all people. We want, you know, people to survive and live. But reality is a lot of times they don't, because cancer is very, very serious. And so you're trying to help the policyholder who needs to sell that policy. But then you've got to do something with it. So it also helps people who want to come in and invest in that.
That's right. We're on both sides of the table. We're trying to help the person that's got the cancer that needs to sell it quick. And they usually do. And then we've got the investor. We've got our investors to consider. You know, how much money can they make? How soon can we turn it? You know, 24, 30 months. And how often can we turn the policy? What's the odds of it going 24, or is it going to be shorter than that?
What's so, the longest they'll go out?
That's what's happened this year.
Oh, they've come in early.
They're coming in early and coming in faster than you can even count them. And we've got several right now. We're just waiting for it to hit the bank.
What's the longest policy that you'll go?
Well, usually 30 months.
Okay.
I wish on that 36 I'd had it, but I didn't, because I thought 36 was too far, and I thought it might go 36. It didn't even go 36. And you've got to go back and forth and figure out how many months it really is. And how well will the client do with this policy?
So if a policy is, say, in this case, like a 36-month policy, what that basically means is that in 2.5 years, the doctors expect the policyholder, they expect the policy to mature within that time, within 2.5 years, which means you should get your investment back in 2.5 years, unless, sometimes they come in early.
That's right, but what if it goes over? Mm-hmm. It could go 40 months, and we didn't want to take that risk.
Yeah.
See, if it's 24 and it goes over, I don't figure that's bad, or 30. But if I'm up to 36 and it goes over, I'm up to 40 months.
Yeah.
See?
So
I'm trying not to do that. I'm trying to say, okay, it's 24. If it goes 30, it's not a big deal. Or if it goes 27,
Yeah.
But if you look online, on all the ones we've had this year, and we went over that last week, those 30 months turned into 15. Some of them turned into 9 months, 6 months, 7 months. You know, they all came in a lot sooner than what we had showed. So in that realm, we're doing better. We're doing
like,
a lot better than the average person.
Yeah. It seems like any time you have an investment and you have a return within two and a half years, that's pretty good.
I think it is, too. And it's solid. You know going in, I'm going to make this amount of money.
Yeah.
You know, it's all laid out. It's not speculative as to what percent you're going to make.
Yeah.
And it's all in black and white. The bank handles it. We don't touch your money. That's why we've been in business a long time. We're not touching the money. The money doesn't come to us. It goes to the bank, and the bank handles it. They take care of paying the premiums. When that person passes away, they put the money in your account. So I don't know how to make it any safer. If I did, I'd be doing it.
Yeah,
but I figure if the bank's handling it, it's as safe as we can get it.
Exactly. And I mean, the investor knows the amount that they're going to get back. They know their profit, minus any premiums that they may have to pay. But otherwise, they know what their return on their investment is going to be. And they know basically when it will be. It seems like you pretty much just set it and forget it. No worries. You don't have to get up at midnight wondering if something happens, because a life insurance policy investment is not dependent on anything that's going on in the world. So if a war breaks out, does not affect this at all. If the stock market crashes, does not affect this at all.
And that's what I tell people every day. You know, This is solid. It's from a life insurance company. You know, life insurance companies pay their claims. They also have up money at all times in escrow in case it is needed. Banks don't have to do that, but they have to have money up on every policy they sell. They've got to have a percentage of that money held back in case something happens and you need it early.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it safe. And life insurance companies are worth billions and billions of dollars, $5 billion, $4 billion, all different amounts. And look how long they've been in business, 150 years.
Wow, that's a long time.
Not many companies have been in business that long.
Yeah, really. So,
yes.
So you invest, say, and what's the minimum investment?
$100,000.
Okay, so say that, you've got a $100,000 investment. Say it's a 24-month policy. You know that your profit is going to be $24,000.
That's right.
And all you do is you basically set it and forget it. But what happens if it comes in? Say that 24-month policy comes in 12 months.
Well, then we reinvest it and do it early. Yeah, so you're going to make money a little quicker, 3 or 4 months or 8 months, whatever it is, quicker than what you thought. And remember this. This is all IRA and 401k money, almost all of it. So you wouldn't want to take it out when it comes due. You want to roll it over and over to make money for your retirement. This is all getting you to that retirement point. That's what we're doing.
And if a 24-month policy comes in 12, you still make the 24%. It's just you make it a lot quicker.
That's right. You get it early. And that's what makes it so nice. And as I said, this year, a lot of it has come people's way. And some of the people that had gotten three policies already, they're in Clemente. That means they'll get another payday this year. So that gives them four right there. So a lot of people have four different ones.
So if
and a lot of the people in Clemente had $250,000 in it or $200,000. They were heavy in Clemente.
Wow.
And, of course, two of the Clementes had already paid off. We had three policies. The first two we didn't have any trouble with, none of the ex-wives. Those paid off. Then this big one is when we had the problem with the ex-wives. And the nice thing is it is now paid, and those people have got a lot of them. This is their fourth payment this year.
Wow.
Yes.
What is, and I know it changes and varies, but what is a general number of policies that a policyholder might see payout in 1 year's time?
One to two, never four.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, this is a big year for multiple policies, maturing. It really is. And, of course, this is October. We've still got 2 months to go, so we may still have more policies mature.
So let me just run some simple math here. Say you're in two policies, both of them $100,000. Say each of them is a 24-month policy, and both of them return or mature in 1 year. You're looking at almost $50,000 in profit in 1 year, and you didn't do anything.
That's right. You made $48,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're not going to be taxed on it if it's in your IRA or your 401k. So you won't be taxed for years to come. That's what the good thing is. It's all tax deferred. And that really helps people.
Yeah. You just roll it into another policy, and the cycle just keeps on going. You just keep on making money.
That's exactly right. And as I said, we've still got, I don't know how many right now, that those I've been telling you about. A lot of them have not even hit the bank yet. So all that is yet to be put in those people's accounts.
So there is money coming.
There's money coming. It's nice. It is nice.
It is nice. This is your money.
It is nice. Fay
Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. You've always got some exciting, fun things, whether it's something to put on our bucket list or it is some fun fact about something, maybe a holiday, maybe something going on in Texas, a place to go, things to do. What are we talking about today?
Well, this, to me, is really an interesting, interesting story. Do you remember the man named William T. Raleigh? He owned the Raleigh Products Company.
Yeah.
You remember him?
Yes, I do.
The old Raleigh Company?
Uh-huh.
Well, let me tell you something. When I was a kid, and even after I was grown, the Raleigh man would come around in his car to all the farmers, ranchers, the little towns, and he would have these little boxes, kind of like a tray. And he'd say, well, what do you need today? Well, you may need some lemonade. You may need spices. I remember my parents buying the double vanilla.
Ooh,
that was a big seller.
Yeah.
And it's still better than any vanilla on the market.
Sure. It's like the pure stuff. It's real.
It is pure. And this liniment was fantastic. Well, I never did know where it came from. I didn't know the story. But I know even after I got grown, I'd look up the Raleigh man if I needed something and say, would you drop by my house and bring me that spice? And the man would do it. And I didn't understand how it worked. Well, I got to studying this week Mr. Raleigh. He was raised on a farm in Illinois. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He had three sisters, four brothers, and of course they were poor out there on that dadgum farm. And they lived near Mineral Point, Wisconsin to start with. Now, his dad told him, you know, you've got to help me. You know, we're not making a lot of money here, and I need your help. Well, when he was 9 years old, he started making ink, and he was selling ink at nine. He had his own label on it, his own little bottle. He sold it to his kids at school and the teachers at 9 years old.
Wow.
And that was the start of it. And it's just amazing this kid was so brilliant at 9 years old. So then he said, you know, if I could go work for the neighbors, you know, they'll pay me $20 a month. His dad said, I don't like you doing that. And he said, well, you know, we really need the money. So finally he said, okay, you can go work for the neighbors for $20 a month. So he raised $120 that summer.
Ooh.
He gave the $100 to his parents, kept the $20. His dad still said, I don't like the idea of you selling stuff. Well, he started selling farm medicine. That was the first thing. Then he made up this liniment. Now, this is a kid. And he would go door to door, and he would say to people, I'll give you a sample. And if you like it, I'll come back and collect. If you don't, I'll pick it up. Well, the people loved it. And the farm women would say, bring me some of that liniment or bring me something else. And this kid was producing liniment for animals and people.
At 9 years old.
It. Yeah. And he was making it in his mother's kitchen.
You can't do that now.
No, and he made an antiseptic salve, and he put on it internal and external for man or beast. Then he came up with a deal he called anti-pain, AP oil, and he sold them just farmhouse to farmhouse. Now, his horse's name was Bill, and he had a little buggy. And when he started this, when he started really the Raleigh Company, he had $15, a horse named Bill, and a buggy that was not even paid for. And he was 18 years old.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
No.
But how many kids do you know that would be inquisitive enough to go out and start inventing things at this age?
None.
I mean, it's just amazing to me. And of course, in Oklahoma and Texas, you know, they were selling all this, but I never did figure out how. Well, he had distributors, and his distributors would go and say, okay, I need, you know, so much vanilla bottles, so much liniment, so much of this, and then they would get in their cars, go down the street, and stop at all these women's houses. And, of course, back then in the 1800s, he'd go farmhouse to farmhouse in his little buggy. And, you know, the wives of the farmers say, okay, next time you bring me something else. And it was always time and trial that he did all this. And then he started selling sewing machine oil, cough syrup, mustard, chewing gum, and hog mixture.
Really?
And hog mixture. And he started advertising. And but this time it's 1892. He mortgaged his house, borrowed money everywhere, and started his first little factory.
Wow.
Yeah, and then he put in a little laboratory. And he did it in Freeport, Illinois. And then he published a little book. It was called Raleigh Good Health Guide, Almanac and Cookbook.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And it was for the whole family. Now, this kid is only 18. And then in 1895, he founded the Dr. Blair Medical Company. And then it became known as W.T. Raleigh Medical Company.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, and he was just building little buildings for his manufacturing, you know, everywhere. Now, I looked it up, and I thought, well, I wonder if that little company's still in business. Well, yes, they are still in business. Their little website's just a little bitty thing. But during that time, he put a factory in Memphis, Tennessee, Chester, Pennsylvania, Oakland, California, and in Winnipeg and Toronto, Canada.
Oh, wow, so he even went out of the country.
He went out of the country. And it, what is just so amazing, you know, then he went to all these foreign countries. He went to Indonesia, Singapore, Japan, and China, and said, you know, I need to learn about their all their raw materials. And so he was looking for all kinds of things, geraniums over there, vanilla, cloves, pepper, everything. And he was having it shipped back here. And then by 1915, he had an estimated 2,000 Raleigh men distributing the product everywhere.
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine?
2,000 people as distributors?
As distributors. And this is 1915.
Wow.
Yeah. And now they still sell in Texas, Oklahoma, all these other places. But they're all around the globe. But their little old website doesn't look like it. It looks like it's still just a little bitty small company. That's what I found so interesting and amazing.
Wow. That's,
yeah.
I'm just shocked that, you know, somebody, you know, starts all this, you know, thinking at 9 years old and then just grows it and grows it. And for all these, you know, people that he would go to and they would say, oh, you know, bring me something else or bring me some more of that. He must have had a really high quality product.
It must have been, and it just amazes me that a kid, 9 years old, started selling all this salve. How did he produce it? I mean, they said it would heal cuts, scrapes, burns, blisters. I just, you know, and they say it's still one of the best products today.
I'm sure, and probably, well, can you still get it?
Yes, you can. And I looked at their little website, and it's a small, very small website. But it says, you know, all the different kinds of salves and Bee Secret lip balm and black walnut flavoring and lemon flavoring and double strength vanilla, just like they used to have.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What is this stuff called? Because I may want to try some.
Well, now that they've got black walnut flavoring. They've got butter flavoring, butter rum, coconut flavoring, lemon flavoring was what we used to buy, and they've got vanilla butter and nut flavoring.
Ooh.
And they got that old lemon dessert mix, and I'm telling you, as a child, we bought that.
Wow.
And it's just hilarious, you know, that this company started out at 9 years old, and I'll tell you how smart he was. He became the mayor in 1911. He was elected a member of the Illinois House of Representatives, and in 1932 he was a delegate to the Republican National Convention.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's how smart. I'm just trying to tell you how smart he was. And he went to India, France, Belgium, and they say now he's over there in all these foreign countries, and you can buy it in foreign countries.
Wow. What's the company called? What is it?
Raleigh, W.T. Raleigh Company. And that's spelled R-A-W-L-E-I-G-H.
I got to look some of that up because it sounds fantastic. I mean, any product that can stay away around for that many years has got to be fantastic. I got to get me some. I didn't know you could still, you know... you could still find it, or even if it still existed. I remember hearing about it, but I didn't know that it was still around.
Well, yes, in my 20s, we were buying from them. I looked the company up and said, I wonder if they've still got distributors here in Dallas. And, of course, they did, and I guess they still do, you know. But I'm just shocked that they're now in foreign countries, you know. Who would have ever thought this little small company, you know, would be in foreign companies and still be in business? I figured they were long gone.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah, I figured they'd been gone a long time. But they aren't and haven't been.
That's amazing. That is so cool.
It is. It's a really cool story. And as I said, their little website's just a little small website. Nothing big. I mean, you know.
I got to go find them. I got to go see this.
And yet they're in foreign countries. They're in Asia. They're in those countries there, but Saudi Arabia. And I guess they just have little distributors. I mean, I don't even know. But I am so impressed that a 9-year-old boy took it to the top.
Yeah, all the way to the top. Know? Such a neat story.
All the way to the top. And, you know, they never allowed anyone to buy it. You realize that?
Yeah.
It's still called the W.T. Raleigh Company.
It's just as it started.
It's just as it started. And he was married twice and had 2 children.
Wow.
And I don't know what he was worth. I didn't find anything out about that. I would love to know.
Yeah, really.
What he was worth at the end.
Such an inspirational story. It kind of makes me want to go out and start something, although I'm not 9 years old now.
Well, but, you know, kids now are so spoiled, you know, and they are given everything, everything known to man. I don't know if they would even know how to go out and do anything for themselves.
You might be right.
I mean, kids nowadays, well, you know, now in the 60s and the 70s, you had the Bill Gates, you had all these people that went to the garage when they were in college and started making stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But they have to have an incentive. Everybody needs an incentive to make something of themselves.
Exactly, yeah. And all these people, they fill the void of, you know, something was missing in the market, and here's a product that will make people's life easier.
And I don't know how he did it. I keep wondering, how could a little kid this small come up with the liniments and all this? His dad didn't want him going door to door. His dad wanted him to help on the farm. And, you know, he didn't want that farm work. He wanted to do something to make money.
Yeah, and I was certainly doing different stuff at 9.
you weren't doing this, were you?
No, I was not. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Well, the phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, if somebody is getting ready for retirement, they're thinking about it, they say, okay, I want to retire at this age, and this is what age I'm at now, so this is how long I have. When is it too late to start investing? When are you in trouble?
I tell you, when you're 80 years old. I mean, at 80, whatever income you've got, that's all you've got in the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You don't have, you're not working, you cannot increase your money, and unless your children are doing it with you, I would not touch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need somebody that's 45, 55, 65, 70, 75, you know, that's got a ways to go and wants to increase their holdings, that they want to be smart. They want to have money when they retire. If they want to go to Neiman Marcus, you know, Neiman's this year, the his and her deal is Rolls Royce.
Ooh, neat.
Now, if you want to go buy those, you need to be at the top of your game and have a lot of money with me or somebody else, I'll tell you.
Yes. And to get there, you can put somebody on the trajectory that they need to be on, no matter what age they're at basically. If they come in and see you and they say, okay, I want to retire here, I have 15 years, you can put together a plan. And this is all about really a long-term plan. And planning is always the key word. It's not just here, do an investment, and then go retire. It's about putting together a plan, and you can help people with all of that.
That's exactly right. And, you know, I've got some people in their 70s, and, you know, they've had 3 maturities this year. One of the ladies called and thanked us. And she was so excited. She's only been with us a year.
Oh, wow.
And these have come, she's had three policies come in early.
That's amazing.
And, yeah, and she's fixing to get the fourth one because the policy, Robinson policy, you know, we got paid on that thing after that ex-wife was trying to get the money.
Yeah.
So, thank goodness. Now, when we ask people, when we're buying a policy, we say, how many ex-wives do you have? Not do you just have one. How many do you have?
Yeah, very smart.
That's right. We've smartened up. I mean, I did not know that these people might have two or three, and we missed it.
Yeah.
You know, because we signed up for one, but that one lady had been 10 years.
Wow, and that's on the radar.
And there she was. Trying to get my clients' money.
So there's a lot of money to be made. You just have to get started. Quit procrastinating. And you have room for appointments this coming week, right?
That's right. I will be in full spring this week. Right. I will be, you know, just 8 o'clock to 6 o'clock. I'll be seeing people. It's almost the end of the year. A lot of people want to get money started for the end of the year. Now's the time to do that. Because if you want to make 25%, 20%, 15%, whatever a product you're in, you know, you have to get started. You can't just procrastinate forever.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have people procrastinate a lot.
Yeah, I mean, and that's really the hardest part is just getting started.
That's right. So you have to get started, and every day that you let it go by, it's money you didn't make that week or that month.
So one last time, Faye, before we go, what is the number that people need to call to come in and see you and go ahead and
it's
get started?
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330 and 3105 Big Spring with an appointment.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.